Howdy, folks, and welcome to the Texas A&M RUF podcast. RUF stands for Reformed University Fellowship, and we believe that ministry is getting people to deal with how God has revealed himself to us in his word. We exist for the convinced and unconvinced, and believe that you are never so good that you stand outside the need of God's grace, while at the same time, you are never so bad that you stand outside the reach of his grace. What this podcast is a collection of sermons given at our weekly large group services. We hope you enjoy the talk.
Hey, welcome back. We're glad that you're back. Hope you had a great Christmas and New Year's. Glad to start a new semester with you. Delighted to be here. Just a reminder, RUF is on the campus and for the campus. We are for the work of Christ, and we're here to love the campus with the love of Christ. And so excited about that. And I do have an announcement for you tonight. And so I'd like to introduce, I think we've got, you want a drum roll? Y'all got a drum roll? Good. All right. Give me a picture. We have a new campus minister and campus staff coming June 1. So at the end of the semester, they will come. March 5th is when I anticipate Grant and Ann Michael will come. But I'd like to introduce you to Grant and Ann Michael Carter. Grant will be working towards becoming the new CM. He'll start as a campus associate, but he will be the new campus minister for Texas A&M. And his wife, Ann Michael, will be campus staff. It'll be the first time we've done this. Lots of other campuses have, where they have a husband and wife team or have a campus minister and a staff. And so they'll do it together. One of the good things about Grant and Ann Michael is they're from here. They are Aggies, class of 2019. They went through RUF, and they have been in the Southeast since then. They were interns at Mississippi State, and so, yes, go ahead. Yes. But at least there was a good opportunity for them to minister there. Grant works for a church in Jackson as he goes to seminary, First Pres Jackson. And Ann Michael is campus staff at Mississippi College, which is a college in Jackson. They're Division III. So they're a little smaller, actually. So actually, my wife coached volleyball there when I was in seminary. She coached volleyball. So we actually love that place. But we're excited they're coming. We're excited for you to meet them in March. That's when they can come out. And so we'll bust it out that night, okay? Look forward to have some time with them coming here soon. So just wanted you to know, over the Christmas holiday, we were able to work things out, close things out. So they will be here soon. So we'll look forward to that. As far as the semester goes, we'll be looking at the book of Psalms, and we will be working our way through. And so tonight, I want to turn us to Psalm 23. But before I read the text, let me pray. And let me say a word or two, and then we'll read the text together. So let's pray. Our Father and our God, how thankful we are that we have this privilege to come and be with you tonight, be before you tonight. We thank you for giving us the answer to our prayers and new campus minister, particularly the new campus team. We pray for Grant and Ann Michael that you would prepare them for us, and would you prepare us for them, Father, that we might love the campus well, that we might show forth the light of Christ well. And tonight, as we come and look at your word, as we begin a new series in the Psalms, we pray, Father, that we can take comfort in your word, as these are the words of the soul that cries out to you. Help us, Father, to find our hope in your finished work in Jesus and our joy in your truths that abide. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever found yourself stumbling in the dark? Have you ever been so dark that you couldn't tell where you were going? This summer, my wife Mary and I, some of our family, we got to go to Maine. Carabeth got to go with us. I'm sorry, Karis got to go with us. One of these days I'll get her name right as her dad. So Karis got to go with us. But we were in Maine, and we were in this beautiful place. But as we were there, the room that we were staying in, when it was nighttime, it would be totally dark. There were a couple times I needed to get up out of bed and I was trying not to wake my wife up, and every time I would walk into something. You ever find yourself stumbling into things in the dark? What about in life? You ever feel like you're tumbling or stumbling into things in life, like you're walking in the dark? Life's heavy. Life's hard. Sometimes the darkness begins to consume, and that's a great time to go to God's Word and to the Psalms. Because these letters are letters of saints of old like David, who speak truth to us in the heavy and the hard, in the joyful and the glad, and they become for us kind of letters of the soul to help us raise our soul towards Christ. And so would you hear the words of Psalm 23? And you probably know this psalm. Whether you have been in church for a long time, or you're pretty new, or you've been to a funeral, though it's not just a funeral psalm, this is a psalm that speaks to the heart. It's maybe the most common. It might not be your favorite, but it's the most common of all the psalms. And so I want to start there this evening, because we want to focus on the Good Shepherd. So would you hear God's word with me? It's a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's great and comforting words, isn't it? Those are words that we need. Why? Because life in Christ moves us from darkness to light. You know those moments where life is a challenge and it's hard one day and it's good the next? Or it's hard for several days? You know what it's like to feel the weight of the soul and feel bearing down upon you the anxieties, the fears, the emptiness of life? You might go back and forth between good moments and bad moments. You might get stuck in those moments at times, but there's one thing that brings us comfort. That's the light of another. It's the light of Christ. But not only that, it's the light of Christ that travels with us in our deepest and darkest moments. That's what we need. We need one who's with us and for us and alongside us in the biggest challenges of life. Because here's what I know as a pastor for some 35 years now. We all tell people some things, but few of us are open enough to tell people everything that's going on in the turmoil of our hearts. Do you know what I mean? There is this tendency in the soul, isn't it, to work it out myself. I'll go to others or I'll go to God, but first let me try. You ever have that experience? Where you begin with a problem that you can't quite get your head around, but that you get stuck in. And it begins to steal a little of life from you. You know, this is where the comfort of this particular psalm is so helpful, because it reorients us not only to our well-being found in Christ, but the fact that we have a Lord who shepherds and watches over us. And so there's a couple things I want you to see in the passage tonight, and I want you to travel with me here. As a matter of fact, before I started, I want you to know that some authors, some academics have noted that Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24 are kind of a holy triad. That in a real sense, they point forward to the greater Good Shepherd coming. Psalm 22 is a psalm that Jesus actually yells on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's a psalm of the crucifixion. Psalm 24 is a glory psalm. It's a psalm of ascending to the throne of God, coming into the God's presence, and the glory of God being displayed. And many have noted that it strikes varying factors or very common factors with the ascension of Christ. And Psalm 23 gives us a shepherd who has stood in our place, but who has overcome our struggle and who lives forevermore. It's a resurrection psalm. Oftentimes people think of this psalm in the darkest moments because we hear it at funerals, but I want you to know that this is a psalm that is full of life. It brings life into the dark. And I want you to see that and how it begins there. Notice maybe a phrase that you can echo in your heart, but it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Notice there, "The Lord is my shepherd." What is the beginning of life for our soul? Well, it begins with the one who is life and who is light to the soul. The Lord is my shepherd. You see, David's emphasis there is not beginning with what he can do for God, but beginning with God. When there was no world, God spoke. And we're told in the Bible, day one, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God, by the very word of his mouth, created that which is created. And then in Genesis 3, we find that mankind, through sin, puts himself back in darkness. We call that the fall. So what is the answer for us? Well, it's the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. The author of life and the author of light is the one we need. And so David is being very purposeful here. He is starting with the Lord before he moves to his need. Why? Because there is one who is inexhaustible, one who is all-powerful, one who is ever ready to meet the needs of those who cry out to him, one who has strength in every occasion. It's not me, and it's not you. It's the Lord. Yahweh. I am that I am. That's what's being translated here. The God who is self-sufficient in every way, he is the one that we seek. Why? Because he puts life into the darkness. He puts light into our world. And we see that before we call out to him as my shepherd, we call out to him as the Lord. And you see that here in this picture, don't you? That the psalm is something that gives comfort because it shows us the one who has all resources. And then he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." You see that ownership there, the mutuality of that phrase? Not only do we belong to God, but it's as if God belongs to us. God gives himself freely to us. That's how he puts life into the darkness. He gives himself to us. And this is what we need. We need a God who is bigger than all the unknowns in our life. And here's the truth, isn't it? You hope for what tomorrow brings, but you don't know what tomorrow brings, do you? You hope for the things that you want to see in life. You've got a degree plan. You can't be at A&M for more than a semester without a degree plan, right? You've got aspirations for what will come. You've got plans for your life. But let's not kid ourselves. We're not in control of it all. This is why we need one who is in control of it all. The Lord is my shepherd. A number of years ago, there was a program, and at the beginning of the program, a man who was a professional orator was brought in to speak, and he began with the 23rd Psalm, and he spoke the 23rd Psalm in the presence of this crowd, and at the end of him reading the Psalm, with his dramatic flair, the crowd stood in applause. It was so beautiful, it was so good, they stood and applauded him. A little later in that program, another man was giving his testimony, and this man was older, and this man was seasoned, and he also quoted the 23rd Psalm. The guy who had read it first watched, and he was standing with another man, and he watched the crowd as they heard the testimony, heard him quote the 23rd Psalm, and people just had tears coming in their eyes. It was so touching to their heart, they were moved visibly by the power of these words. And the friend asked, he asked the orator, what's the difference? The great orator said, I know the song, he knows the shepherd. I know the song, he knows the shepherd. I want you to see, don't rush past it too quickly here, that the heart of change and transformation for us is to begin where life and light can be found. And that's in God Himself. The Lord is my shepherd. Now notice this Lord, He brings light into our darkness, and that's what you get in the rest of 1, verses 2 through 4 in particular. But you get this picture of how committed God is to your well-being. No one is more committed to His followers than God is, and He is committed to our well-being. Amidst the hardships, struggles, and challenges of life, God is there with us. And this psalm displays that. God is wholehearted. He is wholehearted in His commitment to the well-being of His sheep, of His people. And you see that in the psalm. It's actually 1 through 3 is about the provision that the shepherd makes. Verse 4 is about the protection that the shepherd gives. And then verse 5 is about the presence, being in the presence of the shepherd, and the hope that is for us. You look at the passage and you see the focus on provision. That's where the author wants us to land, is that for sheep, they need someone to give them a safe habitation. Not expecting that many of you grew up with sheep. Maybe some of you know what it's like to have sheep, but most of us don't know what it's like to have sheep. But the thing that defines sheep is they can't do it on their own. They're not good at going on their own. They get lost. Their world gets rocked. They get anxious. They're in trouble. They're not able to defend themselves. They can't go it alone. And that's important because what we see the shepherd doing, what he is providing, is a place of peace and trust and well-being and direction for the sheep. Notice there in the verses back in verse 1 there. Notice it's a shepherd. I shall not be in want. And how is it that we won't want? Well, notice there, he makes me lie down in green pastures. It's the shepherd who gives peace to the soul. Here's something true about sheep. They're an anxious lot. Anxious creatures. And matter of fact, they won't rest, they won't lie down, unless four things are true. There's no fear. There's no fatigue for them. There's no famine. And there's no fear of predators. And so they're an anxious lot. And so the shepherd is the one who brings them out of their fear and friction. They hate flies, but that's a problem. So flies are a problem. But notice here, the shepherd himself, he brings them in. He helps them to lie down. They are well pastured. And they are able to trust the shepherd. He takes them by still waters. Now, you might wonder, why still waters? Well, running water is not a good place to get water. But if you go to the still water, then you're going to struggle with being prey. See, sheep don't have a defense for themselves, but the shepherd is their defense. Their well-being, he restores their soul, their direction, he leads them. The bad thing about sheep is they are prone to blindly follow others. But the shepherd will not give up. He provides and he protects. Notice the function of protection there in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even though it is dark, even though it is troublesome, I won't fear. Why? Because the shepherd is with me and I am with the shepherd. This is the beauty of the text. It is in the darkness, in the night, in the longing of the heart, God doesn't desert us. God is with us. This is the thing that I hope you will take away tonight. It's really important for you to understand. In the darkest moments, God hasn't left you. God abides with His children. It's not just in the good moments. It's in the toughest moments. In the shadow of death. In the darkest moments. Sometimes we think that God has abandoned us, but He does not abandon His own. He's a good shepherd. He doesn't give up. He's with us in our greatest need. And you see that picture here, don't you? That if you get in a pit, Jesus gets in the pit with you. If you struggle, he is the one who meets us in our trials. There are trials that are too big for you. Have you discovered that yet? Has anybody failed enough to realize that you are not self-sufficient? I mean, that's a hard thing for us, isn't it? Did you know failure can be a good thing for your life? I know your parents may not agree with me on this all the time, but I am telling you that failure opens up new opportunities of greater dependence upon the Lord, because there are things that are too big for you. Have great dreams. That's good. But I want you to know that though there are things that are too big for you, nothing is too big for Jesus. He is with us in the most trying times. He is faithful in every trial. So read your Bible, seeking Jesus, and knowing that Jesus is there with you in the good, in the hard, and in all of life. I once read about a man who was flying along with some other people, and he was sitting by a guy who pulled out his Bible, and he began to talk to him, but for a moment he just watched the guy take out his Bible, and he was reading it, and he realized at one point he pulled out a highlighter and a whiteout. And as this man read the Bible, he highlighted the things he liked, and he whited out the things that he didn't like. That's the craziest thing in the world, isn't it? Yeah, that might be a good time to go, that's right. Here it is. But when you make God what you want God to be, that is no God at all. You must take God as he is. And when your heart hurts the most, when your life is the darkest, hang on to him who will hang on to you. That's the heart of this psalmist. Though I walk through the shadow of the valley, I know that God is with me. That's the heart for those who know trust in God. I love the way that Paul Miller says it when he looks at the challenges that are before us. He says, we are left obsessing over our wants in the valley of the shadow of death, paralyzed by fear in the presence of our enemies. No wonder so many are so cynical. Both the child and the cynic walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The cynic focuses on the darkness. The child focuses on the shepherd. When life is hardest for you, what do you focus on? Can you hear the admonition that Paul Miller brings us? Don't focus on the darkness. Focus on the good shepherd. That's what our heart truly needs in those moments. Our hearts can become cynical, but the grace of God overcomes, because he will not give up on his children. The good shepherd will not give up on his sheep. So it's dark into light. It's the light of life for us. And we see that that is furthered in verses 5 through 6, in that light of life for us will be eternal through trust in Jesus. Darkness confuses. Life hurts. The darkness absconds with our hopes. But we need to know by faith what Job knew. My Redeemer lives, and so shall I. And that's where the psalmist ends, isn't it? He ends with the Lord making for him in the presence of his enemies a feast in verse 5, and then in verse 6, these words, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is this picture of certainty, of the glorious gifts of the King. It's the promise and provision of presence. You know what the best thing about heaven will be? It will be unfettered communion with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You may have things you long to know, but the best thing will be that we are in his presence with no hindrance. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For all who trust in Jesus, for all who know by faith and repentance the beauty of his grace and goodness, that is our hope, that God will bring us to himself. Why? Because he's the one who has overcome our ailments, our sin, our struggle. Death and darkness have no power over the one who has risen from the grave. Every soul that trusts in him shall not lack for life or light or safety. It's that presence that gives us hope. Recently, I was watching a movie called The Darkest Hour. The Darkest Hour is the story of that time in World War II when Churchill was deciding how to proceed in the coming onslaught of attack from Germany and from Hitler, and he didn't have the support of the War Council. He didn't have the support to go against them of the War Council, and he is really wrestling with how he will address the people of Britain at this time, and he's beginning to lose heart. And one night, he's sitting on his bed. He's in his bed chamber on the just before he's to address the nation, figuring out what he's going to say, believing that he probably needs to prosecute for peace rather than for war. And King George VI shows up at his house. His wife comes in. She comes in. He's sitting in the dark in the movie. His wife comes in and she says, "I know you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. You're not perfect. You can't do this on your own. And oh, by the way," it's not quite how she says it, but "oh, by the way, the king is here." He's like, "What king?" "The king of England." And so the king of England walks into his bedroom. And they begin to talk about how this needs to go. With Britain under the threat of being invaded by Germany, they're sitting there, they're talking, and they ask, actually, Churchill asks the king, "I'd like to know your mind on this." And the king says, "Well, I'd like to know your mind first." And he says, "Basically, those who get thrown down, they will rise again." And the king looks at him and says, "Go forward, basically. I am with you. You will have my support. You will have my support." It's that that fuels Churchill to the greatest speech, one of the greatest speeches ever given. And as Churchill gives that speech, he is buoyed on by what? By the strength of his king. Friend, students, this is what I want you to know. The one who gave himself for us, he is with us to the end. This life and beyond. He's with us. There's no greater hope in your trials and struggles than to know he who gave his life for you is the one who is with you to the end and through it for eternity. That's our hope. And this is what I long, not that you would know the song, but that you would know the shepherd. In John 10:11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And then down in verse 27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Light and life. That's what the psalmist gives as he pulls us out of the darkness. When your heart despairs, when you struggle with depression, when your heart is longing for something more but anxiety has gripped you, there is one who must master you but will help you live beyond that which plagues your heart. Please pray with me. Our Father and our God, we come and we acknowledge in this very familiar psalm great need for our hearts, great truths for our soul. Father, I pray that you would help us this night to start anew this semester with a fresh view of the light of Christ and the life of Christ as we walk into the campus, as we walk into the classroom, as we walk across the campus, as we live with the hope that you will not forsake us. Father, we thank you that you are a good shepherd. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit on us so that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we might delight all the more to know, to grow, and to serve you with all our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this episode of the Texas A&M RUF podcast. If you're interested in joining us for a large group, we would love to see you at All Faiths Chapel on the north side of campus across from Sabisa at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays. Go ahead and follow at AggieRUF on Instagram for updates about any other events we're putting on. We hope to see you around. Thanks and gig 'em.